Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Joe Biden, as I predicted in my podcast yesterday, Battleground Podcast, took credit for all the wonderful job creation.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Even though all they're doing is replacing the jobs that were lost when all the governors shut down the economy.
Right. And even though we have been losing, not gaining, white-collar jobs since the summer. And you heard the chairman of the Federal Reserve actually address that 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And he's laughing and joking around with the crowd as he's talking about, look, you know, we've got to keep raising these interest rates because we've got, you know, the one area of job growth that remains is these service jobs. They're low paid jobs for the most part. He's, you know, they're growing too much. We've got to slow that down. And he's laughing and joking around. And he's talking about wage growth is still too high. This is funny to him. This is the real policy of the Biden administration as enacted by his Federal Reserve chairman. Who say, look, there's still too many service jobs. We got to get rid of them. They got to go. If we're going to fight inflation, well, what causes inflation? The printing of Congress, the running of the printing press. Mm-hmm. The single worst attack on the middle class I've seen in my lifetime. So he's laughing at the idea of eliminating people's jobs and the need for bringing home wages because it's a crowd that really likes him. It's a small get-together, the kind you and I would never be invited for. It's a small crowd, and they're all financial Wall Street types, and they're laughing.
Way above
having
my
a good time.
Grade.
What?
Way above my pay grade.
Yeah, well, that is on display. The Biden administration's policy. Print money, make Americans poor. Got to bring down the inflation, so jobs got to go, wages got to go. That's it. That's the whole policy right there in that five-minute clip from Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan. Alan Greenspan, oh my gosh, that was a throwback.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
I was talking about him yesterday.
Yeah.
Jerome Powell. So all this is going on right now. And we are living in a, you got to listen to Battleground Podcast from yesterday because I explain it. You and I, you probably remember leaving. I've been doing this for, 16 years now. And before that, I was a reporter. And there have always been two jobs reports put out by federal government. Always.
Yeah.
The payroll and the household survey.
Right.
They're interchangeable, basically.
Usually, yes.
Yeah, they're usually pretty close. I mean, they're never dead on, but they're, you know, by a few thousand jobs. One will be up a few thousand. Sometimes if it's a huge job creation month, they might be off by tens of thousands. Might be a 30,000 job difference, right? One says 330, one says 300. But it's the same general trend. They always track. That stopped happening. It stopped happening months ago. In one of those surveys, the payroll survey, which is a select group of businesses, all of them mid-sized to large, select group of businesses selected by the federal government. It's very easy to manipulate when you do that. We are in a jobs boom, and we have created over 2 million jobs in the last 9 months. It is party time. In the other survey, the household survey, we've created 12,000 jobs total in the last 9 months. Not 12,000 jobs a month. That would be a bloodbath. 12,000 jobs total. Now, the way the media, this is where it gets freaky, okay? This is what's freaking me out. The media, and you remember this, Lee, they used to, when the payroll survey numbers came out, they report them. When the household survey numbers came out, they report them, right? And it just totally normal. Mm-hmm. Both very credible. All of a sudden, nobody's talking about the household survey. It's bizarre. I don't know how they've gotten Fox Business to go along with this. Yeah. In Fox News, it tells us every third segment how many jobs there are. And I'm like, I've been watching Fox News for over a decade. They used to report the household survey.
Mm-hmm.
It's been blocked out now and canceled. All of a sudden. Because it says we've only created 12,000 jobs in the last 9 months. That is a jobs apocalypse for a country of this size. That is an absolute frigging disaster. So they're all ignoring it. You know what this reminds me of? When we were in a recession the first 6 months of the year, no one was allowed to say it. We'd have CEOs come on. We had two confirmed quarters of negative back-to-back growth, and they'd They'd use terms like, well, if we go into recession. No, honey, we're in a recession, and I know you know that. So it became verboten to speak of any negative news, including on Fox. So here's what I want to know. Somebody, anybody, do a segment. If you are blacking out and canceling the household survey because it shows we are in a jobs apocalypse, why? What is your methodology? Why, after all of these years of reporting it side by side with the same credibility as the payroll survey, why are you blacking it out now? Why are you pretending there's only one job survey in America? Because there is not. There are two. There are two. So I knew he would take credit for job creation bigly. Even if you take the blackout method of, well, if we get bad financial news, we'll just ignore it. We're America. We're nuts. If you take that way out of dealing with, quite frankly, reality, and I just don't get Fox News here. I don't get where they're coming from. I mean, if you suddenly feel that the household survey is inaccurate after all these years, just tell us why.
Yeah.
Tell us why you're not using it anymore. Just explain it. I'd love to hear your explanation, but they're not. It's just vanished. Like a world-class virologist at Harvard in the middle of COVID. He was there, and oh, look, there he went. What did he say? Lockdowns don't work. Wow, where did that guy go?
I also love the way he took credit for bringing down gas prices when his policies were the reasons they were jacked up to begin with.
Well, according to the only survey we're looking at anymore, Joe Biden claimed he had created 100,000 manufacturing jobs.
No.
Okay. We lost 100,000 manufacturing jobs the most recent month available, November. The December number is not out yet. The January number is not out yet. Those lag because they're more highly detailed than the overall jobs numbers. So we're losing manufacturing jobs now. We're not gaining them. So Fox News, taking the sunnier version of this, says, you know, Biden claimed 800K manufacturing jobs. He only created 214,000. Again, most of that, when we were still creating manufacturing jobs, that was back in the first year of the Biden agenda before he had time to really break the back of the middle class. And they were still buying stuff. They still had disposable income. I mean, Lee, the idea that we had a 500,000 job creation in January when we just had the second highest recorded low ever in disposable income. Americans lost $1 trillion in disposable income in a year. That is the biggest plunge ever recorded except one other year, 1932, the height of the Great Depression.
Wow, yeah, that's going back a ways to a really important and sad economic milestone.
Yeah, and by the way, that's Fox News, Fox Business, that I got that from. Yeah. So that is not some crazy blog somewhere. That's Fox Business, and I tell you, if you want to see it, because it's so shocking, just how poor we are and how disposable income is a thing of the past. The article, if you want to look it up, January 26th, headline, GDP report reveals ominous Great Depression warning sign not seen since 1932. This is Fox News. So, I mean, if these people are telling you this, these are the people who are hiding the household survey right now. They don't want you to know. If they reported that like they have for years, they would have to tell you, we've only created 12,000 jobs in the last 9 months total. Again, a single month where we only created 12,000 jobs in this country would be a disaster. I had a text from somebody yesterday who said that, you know, they had a family member who has a bakery and they had a job opening. 67 applicants. They've never seen anything like it.
Wow.
And it's kind of telling that two days ago when Jerome Powell is talking about jobs, he's saying, yeah, you know, the only jobs we're not able to dent, the creation of our search jobs, those are the low paying jobs. So if you look at what's happened here, the jobs that we added, 1.42 million, we did add 1.42 million jobs. What were they? They were all part time. They were low paying part time service jobs. So what is happening is as people are losing their white collar jobs, we've been losing those since this summer. We have not been gaining them. As they're losing their household breadwinner jobs, they are trying to keep a roof over their family's head by taking a couple of part-time, low-paying jobs and holding on for dear life and putting the bills on a credit card. That's what's happened. That is the reality of the American economy.
Those are the kind of jobs that the Bush administration were criticized about by Democrats when it happened during that time. Now, I'm old enough to remember that.
Yep.
Well, they were all over the media about that. Oh, it's just part-time jobs. People can't get the full-time jobs. Well, where are you now? Because that's where we are.
And the way you measure it, if you lose a bunch of jobs that were full-time, they were breadwinner kinds of jobs, those white-collar jobs, you lose those, and we get a bunch of service industry jobs, and they're part-time, they're low-paying, that is counted. We don't count the loss of the jobs, but we do count, in those jobs numbers I was telling you about, we do count the gain of the 1.42 million. So that's how they're doing it. That's how they're doing it. And that is why disposable income has plummeted at a rate not seen. I mean, think about this. We didn't even see the destruction of disposable income. Of course, disposable income is anything over like food, keeping the lights on, keeping clothes on your back. You know, it's the extras. I mean, we didn't even see this kind of destruction of disposable income in the Great Recession.
Yeah.
And yet Joe Biden wants us to believe that we are in a jobs boom. What are these people doing? And they're not making products for Americans. Americans can't buy products. I mean, if you look at our, you know, at our economy, between 60 and 70%, depending on the quarter, of our GDP, I mean, it's just stuff made and sold here in America. I mean, if people don't have disposable income at a record level, I mean, there's no jobs. Oh, and did you see this? Amazon upped their firing number. It was 10,000 in November. Now they're saying, no, it's going to be 18,000. Wow. That just came out January 5th.
Nearly double for those of you on Common Core math.
Right. So, I mean, Amazon's the canary in the coal mine.
Yeah.
I mean, because we buy all our stuff. You buy your toothpaste there, toothbrush. I mean, you know, everybody buys everything there, right? And if they're firing 18,000 people, their largest ever fire? Are we supposed to be, we're in a jobs boom? I just feel like I live on another planet sometimes.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
He's the first man to surrender his presidency to a woke mob that can't even tell you what a woman is. The choice is between normal or crazy. It's time for a new generation of Republican leadership.
Boy, did she nail it last night, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. This is how the leaders of the Republican Party don't talk. And they need to, because it's why what everyone's feeling. It is why. Over a million people, 1.1 million people have moved to Florida since Ron DeSantis took office. We're seeing, and I get this text all the time, drives me crazy. Nobody's fighting. You're not fighting. They are. They're fighting in the only way they know how. They are packing up a U-Haul. They are leaving behind everything, their family, their friends, and they are moving. That is the only thing you can do short of picking up a gun. It's in our genes. I said this earlier. This is what our ancestors did. They got on ships that might sink, and there wasn't going to be a helicopter to come get them, and they crossed the ocean. They said no more. It's happening again. But instead of coming to America, they're going to Florida. And in this order, Texas is number two. Number three is North Carolina. And number four is South Carolina. They're moving to the South. They have, in just a couple of years, shifted the population center of this country for the first time ever since the founding, according to ABC News, to the South. It's the biggest story there is. There is no bigger story. And she nailed it last night, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Just for saying this. Just for acknowledging this. Look, I've been telling you this for a while. I used to do a conservative talk show. It was a pretty simple proposition. Anything that bolstered or proved our point, which is just about everything when it comes to economics, was stripped out of the news, blacked out. So I had 4 hours today to put it back. That's what I used to do. Now, I don't do a show for conservatives. Conservatives are just a subset of the normals. And Sarah Huckabee Sanders, perhaps better than anyone I know, including myself, defined who the normals are now and the war that we are in. Here she is. It is the most brilliant 55 seconds. This is everything this show's about. It's everything our fight's about. It's why those U-Hauls are rolling and rolling and rolling. Again, over a million to Florida. Just 17,000 of that million, we know from the survey earlier this week. Registered Democrat. That's us, and we are on the move. We are fighting the only way we know how. We don't want to be violent. We are good people who are being pushed too far. This is the last step you take before you have to take another step you don't want to take. And they're trying to do that. Again, they are good, peaceful people, but they can't take any more. They can't take any more. The map of America is shrinking. What America is now is a population center in the South and a bunch of post-American, post-constitutional territories, geographically part of America, but not culturally. And they have been abandoned. They are being abandoned in record numbers. We have never seen a movement like this. Here's Sarah Huckabee Sanders putting into words in just 55 seconds why those U-Hauls are rolling.
And while you reap the consequences of their failures, the Biden administration seems more interested in woke fantasies than the hard reality Americans face every day. Most Americans simply want to live their lives in freedom and peace. But we are under attack in a left-wing culture war we didn't start and never wanted to fight. Every day we are told we must partake in their rituals, salute their flags, and worship their false idols. All while big government colludes with big tech to strip away the most American thing there is, your freedom of speech. That's not normal. It's crazy. And it's wrong. Make no mistake. Republicans will not surrender this fight. We will lead with courage and do what's right, not what's politically correct or convenient.
Okay. Understand when she's talking about Republicans, she was clear earlier, a new generation of Republicans. This is not what the leadership is doing. And this really struck dear to my heart because I have been screaming from this microphone, our freedom of speech erodes a little more every single day. And it's like the 10th or 12th thing on their priority list, if they care at all. If you can even get any kind of defense of that freedom of speech. Because they're all taking the Google money. Not taking the Facebook money. They are. Kevin McCarthy, all of them. His leadership pack is riddled with it. So anytime that I see a Republican speak about the First Amendment, that's really bad for your leadership pack. It's really bad. Mitch McConnell still has never spoken out about it. Not once, not one damn time, not ever. Ken McCarthy got caught. I will never forget this, on the phone with Steve Scalise, also a traitor, and Liz Cheney before she was dropkicked, trying to figure out how to get fellow Republican Congress members censored on social media. So when you hear a Republican talk about the First Amendment like that, that says to me she is rejecting that tech money. She's going to fight for that. This is the fight. And we don't have a lot of time left. We don't. But I'm very encouraged that the moving trucks are moving by the millions. That like our ancestors, the pioneers, the immigrants who came here to flee this kind of oppression, we're on the move again. We are moving again. It's the beginning of a revolution, a cultural revolution. I hope we can fight it with moving trucks alone. Okay, to me, this is the most significant part of the Biden speech. It was a primal scream of rage. You can see the rage on his face. I don't know if you watched this. And it was rage at the American people. It popped through for a moment. He went off script. In defense of the man he is described as, quote, my friend, unquote. As in my friend Chairman Xi. I want you to hear it. It is remarkable. And I want to explain to you first why Joe Biden screamed. I just look of rage on his face. He's mad at you. He's mad at me. He's mad at all of us. He's mad that his relationship with his good friend, Chairman Xi, is screwed up because of you. Because you made him shoot that balloon down. He didn't want to do it. Here you go. This is Biden attempting to crawl back into Xi's good graces.
Name me a world leader who changed places with Xi Jinping. Name me one. Name me one.
What? What's he saying? No one could do what my friend Chairman Xi could do. He is a powerful leader. He's my friend. He is enraged that he had to take that balloon down. Because he and John Kerry, as I explained earlier in the show, and I've been talking to anybody who will listen, are in the middle of their biggest grift yet. The Biden crime family is running its biggest grift yet. And the fact that they're doing it right now is remarkable with all the attention that's on Hunter, but they are. This ruined everything. And the Biden crime family, you got to understand, is much bigger than Hunter and Joe. I mean, they wanted to send Blinken over there so bad. Blinken has spent his time before he was appointed Secretary of State by Joe Biden on a Chinese payroll at UPenn. You know how I've been screaming about who's getting into UPenn? Because, see, there's 1,800 boxes of Biden's stuff from his time in office on 33 pallets. And the Chinese are just coming and going, coming and going, coming and going. Who was the directing manager of UPenn? Who was that again? Antony Blinken, our Secretary of State. The guy who was going to go over to China? His entire salary was derived from Chinese donations. Many of which, it's $100 million total at UPenn. We don't even know who gave it all. Some of it was anonymous. They wanted to get over this so bad and finish the grift. Let me do the timeline for you and I'll make it make sense. This is where this rage comes from, okay? Joe Biden is sick. He's not well. And in his mind, as you know from his compulsive lies, he pictures himself a very different way. He was a great football player. He was an All-American. So was his grandfather. He marched in a civil rights parade, except he didn't. He was a segregationist. He used to drive a truck, except he didn't. He never applied. Applied to be a lumberjack, except he didn't. Didn't happen. See the pattern there? He was Lunch Bucket Joe, just a regular guy. Won the Million Mile Award on Amtrak, except he didn't. And one of his fantasies is that he is a world-renowned businessman. He is a man of influence. He is a man whose personal circle and great friendship includes Chairman Xi. This is why, when the world was in absolute horror, including Anderson Cooper, about the Uyghurs being loaded into the cattle cars, zip-tied and taken as slaves to the concentration camps, Joe Biden defended Chairman Xi. Well, you know, it's very bad to have disagreement in China. They have to take care of that. This is a primal scream of rage. He is angry. You know why he's mad? Because Chairman Xi's mad. Chairman Xi is demanding that balloon back, and Biden can't give it to him. He and Chairman Xi had a great deal when that balloon launched. John Kerry was over there in China secretly cutting the minerals deal that will gut our tech and our self-defense for the next decade, two decades, because it's 20 years long. While Joe Biden was here shutting down the very mine 88% of our cobalt comes from. We have to have that for our military tech. And Joe Biden and John Kerry, and God knows who else, probably Secretary of State's in on that deal. That's why he's in such a rush to get over there. We're going to have to beg the Chinese for the cobalt we need because Joe Biden last week put 88% of our cobalt off limits by closing that mine. Well, John Kerry was secretly cutting a deal with the Chinese to buy it from them. At what price? with our cobalt off the market, whatever they want to charge, them and the Russians. They sell cobalt too. This was the biggest, baddest, best grift ever. It made Joe Biden feel like an international businessman. These Bidens are the kind of people who brag. Listen to Hunter Biden on his laptop. My business partner, the spy chief of China. This is who they rub elbows with. They think they're important. Remember, Joe doesn't live in a real world. Joe is a compulsive liar. He's sick. He's been for a long time. Joe thinks he is an international businessman of influence. And you took that from him. You took that from him when you made him take that balloon down. To show you the scale of the shocking level of sick, of the freak show. Imagine, forget how this plays with you or if this makes you mad. Imagine intel agencies across the world. They're sitting there in their bunkers from North Korea to Russia to India. And they're watching this freak show. And they're interpreting body language. They're analyzing it because they got intel to go with this that we don't even have. And here's what they know. Okay, this isn't partisan. This is reality. They know that on Friday, at the screaming zenith of this mess with the balloon, when Joe Biden had said nothing, said nothing about the balloon, wouldn't speak of it. He goes to speak before the DNC. It's recorded, put on the internet, and televised. Joe doesn't mention the balloon. Everybody else in America's talking about the balloon. The whole world's talking about the balloon, but not Joe. And what does Joe do? He tells the 17,000 miles fantasy. This has already been debunked by the Washington Post the last couple times he told. He and Xi are good friends. He calls him my good friend, Chairman Xi. He's dropped that since. And how they traveled 17,000 miles together. They stopped at the plateau. They watched the sun go down together. They had a deep conversation about America. He tells that on Friday at the top, at the height of the balloon controversy. And it's all he has to say. The media had to black it out. It's so horrific. But every intel agency on the face of the earth saw this and they went,
I've always believed we could define America in one world. I spent a lot of time with Xi Jinping when I was vice president the last couple of years, and Barack asked me to spend time with him. I mean it sincerely. So I traveled 17,000 miles. I met with him more than any other world leader, now over 80 hours, 68 of which are in person. It's me and an interpreter, and he had a simultaneous interpreter. We were in the Tibetan Plateau, and he looked at me and said, can you define America? I mean it sincerely, giving my word as a Biden. I said, yes, one word. Possibilities.
That's why. Just me and him and an interpreter. We were on the plateau. We were watching the sun go down. And we're good friends. We traveled 17,000 miles together. He loves me. I am so important. This is what Joe's saying. I'm so important that she traveled 17,000 miles with me, except he didn't. The Washington Post has long since debunked that. They did at one point go a distance of 14 to 1,700 miles because they were going to the same place, but they were not together. This is a sick, sick fantasy in Joe's head. Joe thinks she is his friend. Now listen to the primal scream of rage at you because you made him take that balloon down. You messed up the biggest grift he's ever had, or business deal as Joe sees it. Listen to the primal scream of rage at you for making him make she mad.
Name me a world leader who changed places with Xi Jinping. Name me one. Name me one.
And in their bunkers and their hidey holes all around the world in intel agencies, their mouths are hanging open. This is America. This is their leader. And Xi Jinping has mortified Joe, and Joe can't see it. He can only grieve for the loss of his friend. In his fantasy. Come into rates on my Rumble stream, my live stream. It's rumble.com, Tara Servatius, subscribe. Help me meet my goal of 3,000 of you following. It's creating a really cool community there. PC Knott writes, my great-grandfather was born on a ship in 1857. I have his birth certificate, and it says birthplace, Atlantic Ocean. His wife had 15 kids, otherwise I wouldn't be here. His name was Joseph Kucharczyk. I don't even know how to say that. Kucharczyk. July 1857. Yeah, they actually have a name for this. This will become famous. Everyone will know what it is. They've just started using it. It'll catch on, or something like it. For right now, they're calling it the Great Sort. It's the beginning of the Civil War. The Cultural Civil War. The one Sarah Huckabee Sanders hit right on the head. People can't live this way. They won't live this way. And as they move, their expectations for their governors will be a rebellion from the federal government. They will demand it. It will not be optional for these governors. The Henry McMaster can't yeehaw and guffaw his way out of it. They're going to expect Ron DeSantis and others to act as the federal government becomes more vengeful to these areas. And I've explained it this way, too. If you want to understand what's going on our border, I've said this before. They've already got enough illegals here. They had enough illegals here in the beginning of the Biden administration. They just amnesty them all. I mean, we'll never win another presidential election again. They can rule the country. They may be able to do it without any amnesty. That's how many Democrat voters there are. It's hard to overcome the sheeple when the media is as poisonous as it is and censorship is as ubiquitous as it is. So why do they need more? Why do they need 5 million more that they brought in under Joe Biden? Because they understand the nature of the Civil War we're in better than we do. They knew the moving trucks would roll. They knew that the true map of the true America would shrink. And now it is the South. The population center has shifted literally since COVID to the South. I mean, the mass movement is insane. Unprecedented in the Republic's history. This is the biggest story. I told you it would be. I literally said in 2020 at the beginning of the decade, this would happen. I told you it would. You remember this if you've been with me. And I said it'll be the biggest story of the decade, the mass movement. And literally we're in 2023 and ABC News is reporting the population of the center has shifted. It is in the South now. That is the number one population center. Never before happened in the Republic. Wokeness is driving that. And these people are going to expect more than words. Right now, Ron DeSantis is offering a lot of words and some action. What he just did to Disney was fantastic. It makes me smile. Makes me happy. You can read about that. They're going to expect action. And if they don't get action, they're going to be on the lawn of the governor's mansion. And the action they're going to expect is for the governor to say in no uncertain terms, no to the federal government. Or yes, we will drill. Yes, we will frack. No, you cannot tell us how many crops we can grow. No, you cannot regulate our nitrogen. No, you will not shut down our fracking. No. And the government's going to try. And these people who've packed up these moving vans, they're going to expect an armed response. Democrats know it, and that's why they're flooding the country with illegals. Hands Through His Home Care is where you go when you need great home health care. When you're contemplating maybe getting an extra little bit of help around the house to care for you or your loved one, or maybe a lot of extra care. And look, at least have them out to the house for a free in-home assessment of your home health care needs. I have a feeling you'll be just like me. I clicked immediately with Dina and Lisa. You could see their passion comes right through for the people they care for. They're the owners of the company. And you'll have their cell phone numbers, you'll know their names, you'll know their voices. You really get that personalized concierge kind of care. And because they're a small, local, flexible company headquartered right here, they can go the extra mile. Because for most people, a lot of times, you know, staying in your own home, maintaining your independence means, you know, help with just that one or two extra things you can't quite do yourself anymore or your loved one can't do. So have them out for a free in-home assessment of your home health care needs. They'll put a care plan together for you. Find them online, handsthroughhishomecare.com. That's handsthroughhishomecare.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.